This recording is copyright 2005 by New Energy Times and may not be used in whole or in part for any commercial purposes without the express written authorization of New Energy Times. The following talk was given by Dr. Scott Chubb at the American Physical Society March 2005 meeting in Los Angeles, California, on behalf of Dr. Dennis Cravens of the Southern Christian University. The title of the paper is Search for Radiation Signals from Electrolytic Cells.
Okay, so the next talk is by Dennis Cravens. Now, Dennis is actually not what he's been doing a lot of. This is new work. There have been other things besides the electrolytic stuff. People have done low discharge, where they put things on the order of, 1,000 watts or more between electrodes, and they
have things glow.
They typically use things like tungsten and stuff like this, and they do this, and then they
look for byproducts for changes.
Now, this is the kind of thing that a physicist normally wouldn't do because it's pretty messy, but people have been doing this, and he's been looking.
Most recently, Dennis has been looking for radiation signals from electrolytic cells.
This is a work in progress. Okay.
He has a calorimeter, 125-liter tank, temperature rise of water he uses. The temperature of room tracks the water temperature, so this is not really fancy calorimetry, but he's trying to understand what's happening, if he's getting significant heat. With a 60-minute delay, approximately 1 degree per hour at 100 watts, that's an easy signal to see. He has 4 inches of insulation. The active insulation panel is set for outer panels to track the temperature of the inner panel to minus 0.1 degrees to prevent heat movement. He uses heavy water and an electrolyte, sulfamic acid, that's that compound, platinum plated onto a is that tantalum screen anode, formed to maximum current density at the point of the cathode, and he's got plated tungsten cathode. So the anode is this, and the cathode is tungsten. And that's been used by other people, Mitsuno in particular. Cathode point is about 0.01 centimeters squared area to the electrolyte. He uses very high current densities, 10 amps for about 1,000 amps per centimeter squared, and he has the use of a dope plating. Example is samarium with large end cross-section. He's been looking for gammas and neutrons. No neutrons yet found above background. Counts about 1 to 2 at the lab at 9,000 feet. Possibly 1.5 sigma gammas when cell is in the pulse mode, just enough to be uncertain. Nothing seen with DC and constant current. Possible signal when first turned on. This could be noise. The tank is fitted with photocells. He's got a hexagonal tank with 35-gallon aquarium size. Photocells placed in series around the sides. It's foil-lined outside and light. It's light-tight. When the viewport is closed, the viewport has 5 panels with air gaps. Can check time of light emission after pulse of power to cell, about 10 milliseconds. He can check the glow half-life after turnoff.
I mean, the thing does glow.
Okay, so here's a picture of the photocell, the back wall. Tank half full, floating balls to reduce surface loss for the reflective interior. He can view through the open viewport. The large tank, it's all insulation, but primary active panels and outer wrap removed. Has an active mixing that goes on, 5-point temperature averages. He measures the heat rise over 5 to 10 hours, good for 100 to 500 watt range of day runs. Simple only time and temperature needed for output. It's a simple thing, only time and temperature are needed for the output. Cell glows with an eerie glow light throughout the electrolyte. Color only checked with simple color filer wheels, about 500 nanometers plus or minus 25 nanometers. The light maximum is a higher voltage than excess power. So the light is at a maximum at a higher voltage than excess power. It sparkles at about 400 to 1,000 hertz, the typical input power levels from 80 to 150 watts.
These are electrical signals.
The power factor shifts prior to excess heat production. The power factor on 60, I don't really understand this jargon here, but 60 to 500 hertz may change from 1 to 3.3. Greatest excess is seen with smallest power factor. Oh, that's interesting. So when it's something down there. The excess is not yet greater than that expected if the power factor measures were totally wrong. So he's it's a work in progress. He does see RF. I mean, this is a complicated thing. I mean, he could be getting, because he's pulsing stuff, it's a, he says RF emissions in the 10 to 40 megahertz. Factors to help in seeing excess heat. Use of proprietary plate. Well, okay, so he's not telling how he does it. Involves addition of spin exchange agents, lattice space. That's been a problem with this field, you know. People do stuff, they don't tell you about it. And then people say they make mistakes. At higher current densities on the order of 1,000 angstroms per centimeter squared, higher input frequencies on the order of 500 to 20,000 hertz, shorter duty cycles, 5 to 10%, at shift of power factors to below 0.5, running at currents just below or at turn-on of blue light emission. So these are all, I mean, this looks like, you know, all these different things. Now, one thing I've seen is that people in this field tend to be, they play with the stuff and then they tend to zero in on it, and that's part of the reason it's complicated. Using hydrogen and deuterium is only positive ions after plating. The future. Use of spectrophotometer to identify the wavelengths of what he sees. Use of more exotic things in the plating. Use of spherical D2O beryllium SO4 tank for N multiplication, now in preparation. I don't know what that, neutron, oh, for neutron. He's thinking this will help to get more neutrons. Higher voltage, use of CR39 alpha, you know, these are ways of measuring alpha particles. Use of gamma spectrum, assuming you gave it something. Okay, so that's the end of his story.